This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. Last month, a grand jury in Wake County indicted three people on charges of operating an illegal internet sweepstakes business in Raleigh. Internet sweepstakes, for those who don't know, are businesses that offer video games that closely resemble gambling. Some would argue they are, in fact, gambling. Sweepstakes are not entirely illegal in North Carolina, but they certainly walk a fine line. Jeff Welty is a professor in the School of Government at UNC, and he often advises public officials on the legal aspects of internet sweepstakes. He's here with me now to talk about the latest development in the industry. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
So for those of us who've never been inside a sweepstakes parlor, what do they look like and what's going on inside? Are these like casinos?
They vary. Oftentimes they're located in strip malls or other business locations, and one enters the door and approaches a front desk area. And typically one makes a purchase of telephone time or internet time and receives as a prize or a bonus to go along with the purchase, the opportunity to play a sweepstakes. And you do that by sitting down at a game terminal, basically a computer screen, and playing what appear to be video games, some of which end with you winning money in the sweepstakes.
So I say I'm going to buy 30 minutes of playing this game. I'm going to buy 45 minutes. And does the amount of time that I purchase correlate to a higher chance of winning?
Sure. Gambling is illegal in North Carolina, and so it would be illegal to run a business where you go in and pay for opportunities to win money. That's gambling, and it's a no-no. So the way that these businesses are typically set up is you go in and you buy something else, the internet time or the phone time, and you receive as a prize, sort of like you would receive a scratch-off ticket at McDonald's as a prize associated with your purchase of a meal, you receive as a prize entries into these video sweepstakes. And yes, the more telephone time or internet time you buy, the more entries that you get. And one of the questions surrounding these businesses is whether they're really in the business of selling the internet and telephone time, or whether that's sort of a pretext for people buying entries into the sweepstakes.
So it's rather the software in these games that allow, depending on who you ask, businesses to comply with or get around this law of no gambling outside of some reservations in North Carolina. Can you give us examples of how the software changes in order to comply with the law?
Sure. There's really two legal considerations for these businesses. One is that they can't do gambling, and that means that the entry to the sweepstakes has to be a free bonus on top of a purchase, like the scratch-off tickets that I mentioned earlier. But in addition to that, they've got to comply with North Carolina's sweepstakes-specific laws. And the General Assembly's enacted a series of laws over the past half dozen years attempting to outlaw these types of businesses. And the most recent law provides that you can't operate an electronic sweepstakes through the use of an entertaining display. And that's led to software changes to try to either comply with or skirt the law's definition of an entertaining display. And there are two basic strategies. The first strategy is what's called the pre-reveal system. And remember that the law makes it illegal to operate a sweepstakes through gameplay. And the strategy for pre-reveal is that when the player sits down at the game terminal, before any game or game simulation appears on the screen, any kind of slot machine or video poker or anything like that, they get a little message in plain text that says, your entry's won $4 or won nothing or whatever. And then after that plain text reveal, there might be some kind of simulated gameplay. And the argument there is that it complies with the law because the sweepstakes is complete. The result has been revealed before any gameplay takes place. And in fact, I've heard that people who play at these type of sweepstakes parlors will oftentimes turn their heads away from the screen during the pre-reveal so that they can feel the excitement of seeing the simulated game take place. But in any event, that's the first strategy.
You don't even need to sit at the computer. This is actually like going into a gas station and buying one of those scratch-off cards.
Well, that's the argument. And definitely, if you don't want to sit at the computer, if you want to purchase your telephone time or internet time and then just ask the person at the front desk to reveal your winnings, typically they'll be happy to do that for you and you don't need to sit down at the display terminal at all. People enjoy sitting down at the display terminal, which is why that option's available. But I think you've made the argument that the industry would make. The second strategy that's arisen in response to the new law is what's called the game of skill strategy. because the statute prohibits using games of chance to promote or operate a sweepstakes, there's a component of the industry that's moved to a situation where the player sits down at the sweepstakes terminal and they have to do some manipulation of the screen that requires them to exercise some skill. They may have to stop a moving slider that's bouncing back and forth between two extremes somewhere in the middle. They may have to manipulate the reels of a simulated slot machine to have the three cherries line up across the middle. Oftentimes, the amount of skill that's required is pretty modest, which creates some question about whether it really still is fundamentally a game of chance. But in any event, that's the second strategy that these sweepstakes operators have used.
How aggressively have these businesses with these internet sweepstakes been policed in the past, and how are they being policed now?
It varies quite a bit. Historically, this industry started as an offshoot of the video poker industry, which was illegal and which was pretty vigorously policed in the late 90s and early 2000s. In recent years, when they've gotten into this kind of gray area legal status, enforcement's been really uneven across the state, and that's illustrated today where there are some communities where internet sweepstakes operate openly and with the blessing of law enforcement and local authorities, and some communities like Wake County, which you mentioned, where authorities are vigorously pursuing and prosecuting folks who operate these sweepstakes.
It seems as though it's all dependent on who's going to care about this issue in the community. If you have some people who say, this is fine, let's let it go on, then it will go on. If you have other people who say, this cannot go on, then you will find higher levels of policing of it.
I think that's fair. There are some communities where sweepstakes are a big part of the economy of the community, and you can think about Roanoke Rapids, where the former Randy Parton Theater now has 250 internet sweepstakes machines in it and is an economic driver for the community. Maybe it's not surprising that in that community there's not enforcement of the sweepstakes laws, whereas in other communities where community sentiment is different, there is more aggressive enforcement.
Is there any particular alliance trying to regulate or get rid of these internet sweepstakes, Republican, Democrat, progressive, business, you know, oriented? Who supports them and who wants them gone?
Well, based on the fact the General Assembly's tried three times in the past half dozen years to outlaw them, I would say a majority of folks in both parties would prefer that these businesses not operate in North Carolina. But there's a significant constituency for them, both the people that enjoy playing the games and, of course, the business operators who want to keep them. And part of their strategy has been to say, hey, let's legalize and tax these businesses so that they can generate revenue for the state and for the communities that they're in, instead of playing this game of whack-a-mole where we keep trying to ban them and the software stays one step ahead of the regulators.
It just seems like this line that we're teetering on between saying internet sweepstakes and gambling is just about as thin as it could get.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it puts law enforcement, for example, in a difficult position where they have to decide whether to allocate their limited resources to pursue something that might not be the community's highest priority, that might in some cases even be legal. It just requires an incredible allocation of resources to investigate these things thoroughly and to build a legal case. And I think a lot of law enforcement agencies wonder whether that's worth their time and trouble.
Where do you think that the industry is moving in the next year? Will it be under more pressure, less pressure from law enforcement?
It's hard to predict. In different areas of the state, there's been pretty aggressive law enforcement pressure already. There have been folks prosecuted criminally under the sweepstakes statute. In Wake County, there's now prosecutions pending under the gambling laws, which you already mentioned. I think it continues to be a cat and mouse game where the industry keeps coming up with new formats for the computer games that may or may not avoid the specific wording of the statute. So it's sort of like catching folks who are doping in professional sports. It seems like the dopers are always a step ahead of the regulators, and you've got that same game, that same dynamic here with the sweepstakes.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Jeff Welty is a professor in the School of Government at the University of North Carolina. I'm Phoebe Judge. This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.